Welcome to Beyond Part 107, the podcast where we take topics, use cases, and challenges beyond the everyday hype to deliver meaningful insights into the value and state of commercial drone applications to help everyone build the commercial drone industry of tomorrow. Hi, I'm Danielle Gagne, editorial analyst for Commercial UAV News, and today I am joined by Naya Choi, director of product marketing at Key AI. Welcome today.
Hi, Danielle. Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's great having you here today. And I just want to start off asking you, how did you get into this position and what is it you do at Key AI?
That's a great question. Honest answer, I have no idea how I got into this energy sector, developing a software with a bunch of people that I'd never met before, a bunch of guys actually. But I came into this industry from design, from industrial design actually. And I met Michael as soon as I graduated, Michael, our CEO of Key AI, as soon as I graduated from Oaken University in Toronto. And I got into user experience. My background in focusing on human-centric design is really what brought me here. I love getting to know about the end user's experience and interviewing them and getting to the unmet needs that they have and then bringing that into a more kind of intuitive design. So that's my focus. And now I've been working in the company for about 2.5 years, started as a product designer, and now moving into marketing, basically selling the product that I've designed with the team.
It's really incredible. You talk about human-centric, and I just want to kind of unpack what that term means, at least, especially for you. How do you approach a human-centric design, and what is that in contrast to?
Human-centric design for me is really bringing the needs of the end user, the people, in a center of design practice. As we all know, when a product is designed, there are different sectors in the company that comes together to design a product. So for example, business, marketing, there could be like finance that all gets involved into bringing a product in the market. My role at Key AI as a human-centric designer is to focus on the people's needs at the center of the holistic product. Focusing on the user's need.
So in focusing on the user's need, what are your end users and who are you really focused on right now? And how has that impacted how you think about technology and user experience and user interface?
So the end users of Key AI are the inspectors and engineers that are performing the digital inspection. The people that are involved in our software are drone pilots that are collecting drone inspection data that needs a space to securely upload their data into processing a creation of a digital twin. So digital twin as a digital replica of their physical asset. And so then they can collaborate with different engineers and inspector in that remote inspection process. And then there comes the decision makers that are more up in the management side of inspections that are, really sending the people to fix the specific anomaly or like defect of the asset to go into the field. So my role is to see the connection between all these different people and bring that into a more of a full experience in Key AI software.
So can you talk about, legacy processes in the energy and utilities industry and how they have been operating up to now?
I'm going to say that I came into the energy sector only about 2 years ago. However, as a person with a fresh perspective, what I see is that things don't change. There's a huge mentality of don't fix it unless it's broken, right? We have all heard that. And I think that's because the nature of energy and utility, there's so much certifications, regulations, and you know, specifications that has to be met for compliances and other things. So things actually take a very long time to change. Even though we have all this data that's coming in the past few years, it is hard to see the actual value in this data because the change of how you're storing and how you're managing, how you're inspecting all this data takes time and in this specific industry.
It does take a lot of time because it is a heavily regulated industry. But there are also some pain points, right? What are some of the pain points you're seeing in the industry taking this human-centric approach, looking at these technologies that can help support that could really start to enhance change and flip the script a little bit on how we approach the energy and utilities sector?
So when I first joined the company, there is this problem. We call it a thousand picture problem. So when we used to provide drone inspection services, we used to hand over thousands of images to the engineers. And apparently they would go suicidal into, you know, reviewing all those images. And it was just a really cumbersome experience. And if you think about that end user's perspective of having to go through all these images one by one to make sure that the asset is in good condition, that is a horrible experience. Like, I feel really bad for that person that has to do that for a living, right?
Right.
So when we think about that specific problem and how we can help with this technology, that's why we started thinking about digital twin, 3D navigation to make sure that the end user have a better experience navigating those images into a 3D space. So then they can have more time to focus on the more high value tasks that are not just going through thousands of images.
So the end user experience really allows them to kind of move around this digital asset as if they were actually out in the field, or is it more than that?
Digital twin is a replica of a physical asset in a digital space. So it could mean that you can review images that represent the physical asset, or it could mean that there's more sensor data that could go into a digital twins. I think digital twin is in a center of digital inspection to allow the users to collaborate in different locations and meet together onto that physical digital asset online.
So that's really enabling a lot of a collaboration where maybe that wouldn't be so before. And have you seen that COVID and these remote conditions that we had to work in, has that changed how people are thinking long term about these assets? I know it's been, as you said, it's a very slow moving industry. So has this accelerated conversations?
Definitely. COVID-19 has definitely accelerated the emerging technology that goes into energy sector, especially because we are now forced to work remotely, right? There's all these different regulations that goes into working in person, and there's so much benefit from saving time and money by just working in the comfort of your home. So being able to have the access to the replica of a physical asset is huge. And at KAI, we're also experimenting with augmented reality. So this now brings the digital twin into a next level where you can actually see the creation of markup in front of your eyes in your physical environment, your own home, your own living room, your own office that's not in Africa where your assets are held. You can locate yourself in relation to the assets that are projected in front of you and play with your coworkers, your team to experiencing the asset in a different level.
I know augmented reality, AR, is really on the very edge of what we're starting to use. Can you talk a little bit about the value of using AR versus looking on a computer screen?
Well, it brings another level of interactiveness to people's workflow. So when you're working with your hands on the asset itself, you're able to dive deeper into the condition of the asset. and connect over augmented reality space with another person that might be in need of training. So you can now interact with the asset together in the augmented space. So we're looking at now at KAI, some of the application that this can be used. So like I said, in training and just making this inspection process more immersive, presenting your asset condition to your team in a way that is more effective, I think it's a huge application in the future. And of course, at this point, I think it's a lot of experimenting and we're still trying to figure out what exactly can this technology bring at the end of the day. So there's more studies and research that needs to be done in terms of designing the good user experience for this technology.
We always are talking about things in terms of dealing with the data, but it seems like KAI has gone a step further than that. And can you talk a little bit about that philosophy and how you're kind of approaching technology in a more holistic way?
Yeah, so KAI is a software that supports in assisting the inspector to find anomaly faster, to perform that digital inspection process in a way that is easier for the end user. So we support our inspector every step of the way, from reviewing the images to making that reviewing process more effective using digital twin, automating the report creation so the users don't have to make individual marks to create the report, into now our specific approach to creating the machine learning algorithm to create the artificial intelligence that is unique to your organization's specifications and needs. So we do this by giving this tool to the hands of the end user itself. So they have a full control of creating their own specific machine learning algorithm that you can own in your own organization.
Now, that sounds really intimidating when you say you can create your own machine learning algorithm. Can you talk a little bit about how you make this user-friendly and how you help the end user walk through that process?
So to talk about machine learning to begin with, machine learning is basically we're training the machine to do things that we would normally have to do. So whatever data input that we put into training the machine is whatever the machine will be able to come out of. So the training data that you're putting in matters so much in the accuracy of how the algorithm turns out. And then this is exactly what at KAI we found so interesting, is that the subject matter experts, the people that are actually inspecting these assets, are the one that has the full control of the accuracy of these training data. So we give the tool, we call it AI segmentation tool, where users, while they're creating the anomalies to perform their inspections anyways, they're able to create a accurate segmentation of the anomaly. And by using that anomaly segmentation markup, you're at the same time just seamlessly training your model. So while you're inspecting, you're seamlessly able to train your own AI model, and you have the full control of creating the most accurate label of your training data.
And anecdotally, what has been the experience in the field about with people who are testing out this technology and using it? Do they find that kind of capability effective and helpful? And, you know, how much time does it normally take them to kind of get up and running with this?
Normally, when we show this product to our customers, they're very fascinated by how we're able to detect the anomaly from the beginning and then how much power that they have in creating that anomaly more accurate. When our users create a machine learning algorithm in their organizations, they would have to hire a third-party AI scientist to label specific area of the corrosion. But the problem there is that AI scientists are not inspectors. So there is that disconnection into what kind of training data is the most accurate. And this is what we find so fascinating at KAI is, what if we can connect them together? What if we give the power to control their own AI training model to the hands of the inspector itself? So normally they would have to use a tool, just like a pen tool or something on your Photoshop, to click on the million points around the corrosion to create the actual accurate boundary of your corrosion. So our users are able to first create a bounding box around the corrosion, and then our baseline algorithm will detect the area of the corrosion. And then they also have a control over how accurate that segmented area is. So we make this process as easy and seamless for our end users so they don't go suicidal.
Which is really important, especially for adoption. If a tool's too hard to use, it ends up creating this barrier to adoption. But giving them some control over how that data is being processed by the machine learning algorithm is also a really important aspect of being able to give them some confidence and trust. That's so important when you're talking about that human-centric aspect of a product, giving them some autonomy over how they define what accuracy is. And I want to go back to something you said really early on, and it's been kind of juggling around in my brain a little bit. You said you got to kind of work on the user interface, user experience part, and then you got to move into marketing what that was. What was that experience like, being able to develop something and then actually get to talk about it and market it?
It's really exciting. It's amazing experience, honestly. It's been such a journey designing the product, speaking to end users every single day to find their needs and find out the workflow that they're already going through, to bringing that into our software that's more friendly for the people, that is not disrupting their current workflow, to make it more seamless to fit into their workflow. And now that I am more involved in marketing our product and to develop more business relationships to our vendors and different partnerships, I feel that bringing that user-centric approach into this business talk is so critical. I think that a lot of the times in the company, there's so much segregations between business and finance and product, that to make that more holistic and to have that person in a center where we can see more of a broad perspective of where different needs are, and to find that sweet spot where everyone's expertise are validated, and most importantly, with the user in the center of their experience. So at the end, I'm always going to be the user's advocate, because that's what I'm really passionate about. I think I have to always remember to set a solid ground on bringing that user's perspective into all these business conversations that's going on.
And I can imagine how invaluable that is, having done the research and working at that user level, being able to take that and understand your end user when you go to market. You're talking about something about businesses in general that I think has an application and resonates across all industries. And that's the idea of being agile and breaking down silos. And that's such an important thing to be talking about, especially in the drone industry, where there's so many players at work that we all have to get to work together, not only just in one business, but also with regulators, with governments, with public. Every single person has to kind of work together. And so being able to model that within your organization just helps to demonstrate that to the broader public about what is needed to move an industry forward. It's solving a problem and not creating something looking for a problem. As you're looking at what's happening today and as you're talking to end users, what do they want a year from now, 5 years from now? What are they hoping this technology will bring them?
I think that end users want to see values right away, always. They want to see their ROI from the get-go, which is an interesting problem that we have to face when we talk about gathering data and seeing value over time.
Now, how do you do that? How do you manage expectations while still keeping them excited about the product?
We show them examples of the detection model that we have worked with our partners and clients. And we show them what they can gather from just creating a digital twin today and showing their own data into our software. I think it really resonates to a lot of people. And also seeing how the report is generated, seeing how the creation of market digitally and sharing that digital replica of the asset with their client, it really resonates with them.
As we start thinking about growth and adoption, I always think about the legacy users, the people who we talked about earlier in this conversation, who have been there since the get-go, are slow to make changes. There's a lot of regulations in the way. What do you see as a necessary next step to breaking free from some of those processes that maybe aren't serving us as well today because of the technologies that are they're becoming available that can really make these jobs safer, more efficient, more cost efficient, and just less dull, dirty, and dangerous, right? What are some of your thoughts on where the sticking points are and what we can do to help that?
I personally think that we need more younger generation of innovators and more younger generation of disruptors that are not afraid to make failures. And that's why a culture that we have at KAI as a startup, we have a lot of fun just playing with these technologies rather than having to worry about all these regulations from the beginning, right? When it comes to having so much pressure on and restrictions on creating values in playing with technology, it actually affects the process of innovating. You know, the culture of just pushing the limits that we have at KAI, that kind of mentality, I think it is crucial. And also with the older generation in the sector are slowly retiring, and now we need more data-driven younger generations that are coming into this industry. We also need more diverse voices. We also need more female voices, and we need more people of color in the industry. I think that's absolutely crucial.
It creates this space where different voices are starting to come in and refresh what has been something that's stagnated just because it's been working. But at the same time, it really hasn't been working. If you look at the energy and utility sector, it's part of that infrastructure challenge we're seeing globally, right? And that's the reason why we're putting $1 trillion in America is because it isn't working. We're growing. Our needs are growing. Our technology demands are growing. What are your thoughts? Do you think this is less of a nice to have and more of a necessity?
Absolutely. The involvement of emerging technology in the industry is a necessity. It is no longer an option at this point, especially with the change that we're seeing with the remote workplace. It is a necessity that we all have to have in the center of our head. And also with so much problems that's caused every day in climate change and so much initiatives that's going into decarbonization in the industry, the technology will play a huge role. And the mentality that we go in using this technology has to be freshened up with the more younger and more diverse voices.
Absolutely. What are some of the things you hope our listeners will take away from our conversation today?
Talking about KAI, I would really love people to understand our deep focus in user-centric approach to designing the software, as well as artificial intelligence. And broadening that user-centric approach, I would love everyone to take away the importance of having the end users in the center of your product. Don't sway away your opinions from business priorities, financial priorities. Always have the end users' needs and how the product will actually affect the people into center of it all. And remember to bring in more young, diverse voices in your industry and the importance of emerging technology that we bring as a younger generation, as a new generation.
Absolutely. And if we fail to pass that on to the next generation, there won't be anyone to take up the mantle of this very important part of our society. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a wonderful conversation and a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much.
This concludes today's podcast. We hope you join us again for the next episode of Beyond Part 107. Until then, safe flying.